time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
On the drive to work, you tuned to a wacky, zany morning show and heard them say something distasteful. You can't believe your ears. You were just shocked by a shock jock.
Isn't that what a shock jock does?
Now, you're gonna do something about it.
Get that monster fired, yeah.
So the next time you see a guy protesting your favorite morning show because it messed with his PC sensibilities, exercise your First Amendment rights and give a single finger salute to Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio, a real American hero.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
You know, there is this thing called a tuner, and it actually lets you change the radio station. Isn't that incredible?
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
And good morning. Welcome to Tuesday, February 8th. We're here, as always, to entertain you. Good morning, Kira. Are you awake?
I'm here, Sam.
Thank you. You're here, and that means you're awake, and that's a good thing.
I'm here ready to rock and roll, people.
Welcome to the show. And I do want to start off by apologizing to you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Aw.
You see, because I do have it in me to admit when I'm wrong or when I make mistakes. So
I love you. You're so sweet.
I'll tell you what I realized. I realized that you are willing to talk about sex, but what I presented to you was actually verbal pornography, I think. You know, it's like, because it's not like traditional sex. I mean, people can talk about sex and things like this, but I give you some pornography here.
That's what it is. Yeah, that's a good way to put
it. I think that's why you were offended by this, because you're not into pornography and stuff, you know. And I thought, this is something you can't just impose on people. You know, you got to.
How big of you, Sam?
So
very big
of
you.
Do you agree with me?
Actually, yeah, I think you actually put it better. You put it better than I put it yesterday.
Yeah. Because
I didn't even think that word. That's a good
it
word.
It is pretty. It is pretty pornographic, I think. The clips that we played on Friday.
Yeah.
So okay. So I'm not gonna put pressure on you anymore, and I can understand
how
why
did
you
figure that word out?
I don't know. It just sort of occurred to me, because it is pretty. Pretty obscene stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, some people are into it.
You know? Yeah.
But you know I'm not.
And yeah, knowing you're not into pornography, I would imagine that that bordered on sexual abuse there. So I apologize.
Look at these big words and apology. I am highly, highly impressed, Sam.
Yeah.
You're very, very
well,
big of you
I always
to
come
apologize.
Clean, man. I always come clean. You know, when I do something wrong, I admit it.
Okay, what do I need to apologize? Is something
so
need-
it's not that I did something wrong. I guess I just the something
just
wrong was
it.
The something wrong was getting on your case about it, not actually playing it. You know, because I didn't know how you were gonna react.
Well, you know what? I know that this isn't always easy for you. I know that I'm very opposite.
Uh-huh.
And this is not something that you necessarily are always excited by, because there's, you know, there's boundaries, right?
Right.
And sometimes that stuff isn't fun. It's like, oh, you know, you'd rather just kind of go and have freedom in that area to go full blown. And it's sometimes probably, you know, a buzzkill to have somebody that's like, you know.
Yeah.
You can go only so far.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. I mean, you're not the type of person to enjoy this kind of entertainment with, you know. The pornography part.
I mean, some of it was funny, like the finger up the butt at Las Vegas. I can handle that. That was funny.
Yeah, but you didn't like the queefs. And
I can't handle the sound effects and all that stuff. Just, I was like, whoa, I got to take my headset off for that. you know.
Yeah. Okay, so now that we put that in a box, we can file it away.
I mean, that story was funny, the whole Las Vegas story. I was, you had me there until it went. I was like,
Well, no. The other one was a Vegas story, too, but...
it was a whole different...
Yeah, it was a whole different thing.
Yeah.
So, how are you doing this morning?
You know, I'm doing pretty good. I went on a date last night.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did. Wow. And it was really good. The guy's really cool.
How'd you guys meet?
We met actually randomly out one night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so, we have similar interests, really cool guy, same kind of beliefs, great stuff. But, you know, he's like way into me, like way smitten, which is very flattering. He's a great, because he is a really cool guy. But I'm starting to notice that that if somebody likes me a lot, especially right away, it like makes me not interested.
Wow.
Even if they're great.
Right.
I'm starting to notice that.
Right.
It's like, even if they're like, wow, such a cool guy.
So it turns you off if they are interested in you.
It's not that they're interested in me if they're really 100% in and very affectionate and very, like, you know, giving me a lot of compliments, which generally you want all that stuff.
Right.
Those are good things. They're not bad things.
Right.
But I've noticed it kind of turns me off.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like a little bit of a challenge or I don't know what it is. I like compliments. Who doesn't? I mean, I'm a girl, but...
Right. So you don't know what it is. You haven't.
I think maybe maybe here's the thing, you guys. Maybe I need to retract. I'm just figuring this out about myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought, oh, I want to meet someone. I want to kind of move towards the direction of a relationship, and then the whole enchilada, the whole nine yards. And I'm thinking, well, you know what? Maybe I'm really not ready for that. Maybe
right.
I just have so much more in me because I don't like the idea of
like settling down.
I don't like the idea of even going to a comedy show.
Right.
And I have a boyfriend there.
Really?
I don't like that concept.
Oh, okay. So you'd rather be alone in that sense.
Well, it's like maybe I want to play still. Like I like going and feeling free and
right,
feeling my,
right.
like myself. And maybe I don't really want to have someone there that's like my man.
Mm,
you know?
Because
men tend to, even if they try not to, you know, it's like they kind of harness women in a way. Which is... Like, they protect and they provide and they do all those, like, sheltery man things. But if you're crazy like I am and you need to be like, rah, 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 you can't be thinking about someone else.
Yeah,
time.
That would get in the way.
You know?
Don't think a lot of guys could handle that.
Yeah.
Once they're in a relationship. And you want the freedom to flirt and to have fun, you know. So, yeah, maybe you're not ready for it yet.
So there you go, guys. I think that... You know, so I think that that's kind of what the deal is.
Right.
So there's.
So you don't think it's something that
what else could
you
be?
Just, I don't know. That's what I'm asking you. I mean, are you afraid of something or maybe you are afraid of losing your freedom or something, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, yeah, cherish your freedom. What the hell, you know? But it is a problem for you because you don't have like casual relationships. So.
No.
Yeah. So it takes a long time between relationships for you.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, I don't know. There is a guy that I was seeing for years, like on and off, and he's the guy that like I'm totally just adore, but doesn't want to get married or have kids.
Right.
And for some reason, this guy is just still, he's always in the back of my mind, even though it's
never... Yeah, maybe you're not over him. Maybe
a new relationship
would mean that you have to cut off from him. And
yeah,
you don't
well, I try. I cut off, I break up with a guy all the time. I drive him crazy because he's like, what are you doing? Let's hang out. No. Don't call me. I hate you.
Uh-huh.
And then like, you know, 3 weeks or, you know, 4 months later.
Right.
You know, we're hanging out. So it's like a bad habit.
Mm.
There you go. There's all my deep, dark, dirty secrets.
Yeah. They're not really deep and dark.
No, they're not.
They're dirty secrets. But no, I mean, you know, look, I think I can understand. You're just not ready to settle down yet.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
But you've got to... I don't know if you have to, but maybe you should analyze what it is because it might get in the way of future relationships too. You know, you got to figure out.
I don't know. I just start to feel a bit of, I don't know if it's a neediness or if I feel a sense of like, oh man, I don't know.
Do you think maybe subconsciously you feel undeserving or something?
I don't know.
You know, whereas, because you mentioned that, you know, you're not comfortable with all the compliments and you know, the attention.
Well, but then I've been in relationships where I've wanted those things.
Right.
And I've
But you're saying you still want them. It's just you don't want them.
Right away.
Yeah.
It's like that a rushing of, like, you're so this, you're so that, you're so this, you're so that. And I don't know. And it just kind of...
maybe it scares you. Maybe he's coming on too strong.
Yeah,
you know?
I tell him to pump the brakes.
Yeah?
I said you need to pump the brakes.
Which is not what a guy wants to hear.
He's cool. He can handle it. He's a really cool guy.
Yeah.
So he's able to, like, handle it. He's way, way cool.
Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Just, yeah. I'll keep you guys posted. Hopefully he's not listening. I don't think he is. It seems like
that's one sentence you repeat a lot, you know. Hopefully he's not listening.
Yeah, well, you know, most people don't wake up before.
Then don't tell him about the fucking radio show, you know.
Well, it's like I don't come out of the gate talking about it, but it's in passing.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, you didn't say anything bad. If anything, he can learn a little bit about you on the show.
Well, I'm learning a lot about me on the show. I don't like verbal pornography and. Not sure if I'm ready for the whole full-blown relationship thing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, then maybe you should stop looking, you know?
Oh, I'm not really looking.
Because you're really driving guys crazy, I think, you know?
Really? I don't think
it's... Yeah, it's sort of like leading them on, because you're showing that you're open to spending time with them and so forth, and you spend a good time with them and have a good time.
But isn't it how you figure out what you want or don't want? Isn't that what you do? You like, put yourself open to things, and then if it
right.
doesn't... If it doesn't click, you like kind of, you know, say thanks, but, you know, no thanks.
Right.
You know, I don't really think, I mean, I did the little online thing, which I never go on.
Right.
So I don't even know, my inbox is probably totally full, and mm-hmm. I don't know about that. Like, I'm not pursuing or, you know.
Yeah, you lost interest in that?
Yeah, I just don't have the attention span.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot, my friend said this, she's like, there's a section on the site that says, meet me, mm-hmm. and it's people that have viewed you that would like to meet you.
Right.
And she says, you look at this, you look at the photos of these guys that are interested in meeting you, and she says they all look like a police lineup. They all look
with
like
mustaches and sunglasses.
She's like crazy
and...
dudes, tattoos, crazy. Somebody's got their dog.
Oh, I see a police lineup. Okay.
They all just look like they're in like, they're like mug shots.
Uh-huh.
They're not. They're not. She's like, they're not a lot of.
Not your kind
slim
of material.
Pickings is what she said. And it's work, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm just really not as interested as I thought. This is what happens to me. I'll have a few days off of work and nothing going on. I'll be like, oh, it'd be great to go out and be on dates with a guy.
Yeah.
And then I end up getting busy again and I don't think about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you need to examine that. What can I say?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to sit here and analyze.
But what age did you get married your first time?
First time I was 27.
Yeah, that's kind of young.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not young.
Is it young? I don't think so.
For L.A., it's young, but it's not really young.
Yeah.
27 till
yeah,
how?
Yeah, that was what, like 20 years ago?
Yeah, so 27 till when were you married?
Till I was 34.
34, okay.
Yeah, 34, 35.
Okay, and then you...
Yeah. And then I met Dina when I was 44 maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, 44. So, yeah, there was a stretch there where I wasn't married, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I was dating. But, you know, I'm not a serial dater, you know. I mean, I would always get into relationships even though I didn't want to. So I guess that's just what I am. I'm comfortable in relationships.
Mm.
So sometimes you don't know about yourself until you actually look at your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you analyze it, and you realize, wait a minute, you know?
Well, you know my old roommate that got divorced and is living it up.
Right.
She's going on dates left and right, right?
Right.
And she's just having fun being single and living the single life. But she chronically has these guys that just fall madly in love with her and mm-hmm. want a girlfriend her up or wife her up, right?
Right.
And she's constantly... She's just finding herself in this position of like, no, I'm just not, I'm not ready for that. I'm still getting over my ex-husband. Like, I just want to go out for a drink and have fun, you know? And these guys are like, I want to marry you.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like I'm
so in her. What is it about guys in this town? Why do they all want to marry you after they meet you the first time?
No, it's usually not the case. That's why it's funny. It's usually not, I don't think that's the case, but
yeah.
I've just happened to run into a few dudes lately that are, I've said, I'm feeling like Claire. I've got cause I met another guy last week who just thought, he just thought I was his wife, and then a couple other dudes, and it's funny because they're both, you know, having this, like, it's not deep, it's deep, it's deep, it's deep, and you're like, oh, pump the brakes, oh, you know, and I said I was feeling like Claire.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not a bad problem to have,
right.
You know, it's good to know that they're biting,
mm-hmm.
and that people are interested.
Right.
You know, if I come in here, I have no one biting. and no one's interested. I think it's worse.
Yeah, you wouldn't like that, huh?
No.
Okay. So there you go. You like the attention, but you don't want to be committed. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I didn't think that's where I was, but I think that is where I am.
Yeah.
I think I was always like, no, I want this. But I guess it's maybe I don't.
Yeah, maybe you don't. Yeah. You like your independence.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun being single and, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly super young, but I'm not old.
No, you're not old. You still got plenty of time. But if you want to have kids, maybe now is the time to think about it. You know, you don't want to be too old and have kids.
Well, the thing with the kid thing is that as much as I do want to have children, I really have such a big dreams that mm-hmm. I am way more committed to the dreams than I am having kids.
Mm.
And if I have to choose, you know what I mean? If I have to, like I'm not ready to bring kids into the world right now.
Right. I mean, but as you grow older, wouldn't you want to have kids?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like a gambling thing you do, right?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Well, that's not a gambling thing. I mean, you don't want to gamble with kids.
No, I mean, that's the thing. You gamble, like, do I bring kids in the world now when I'm not quite ready, but my biology is telling me to do it?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about my future and my children. Or do I keep pursuing my dreams and risk them not coming true and then not having kids?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I learned one thing is that the only reason to marry someone is if you want to spend the rest of your life with them. Don't find any other reasons to marry, not for kids, not for money, not for...
That's true, huh?
You know, not because... Yeah, I mean, if you don't truly want to spend the rest of your life with that person... Why get married? You know, every other reason is the wrong reason.
And it'll end up just falling apart.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know, so, yeah, because you don't want to make light of it. I mean, you know, you're committed to something, you invest a lot, and you don't want to have to break up a family later. You know, so you want to be sure, yeah. You know, so it's not like, oh, this is the guy I'm with, and I want to get married, so I'll just marry him. That's not the way it goes. You know, you really want to be with that person. So,
yeah. Well, you know what? It's like I could just do what my mom did, too. She married 6 times.
There you go. Serial marrier.
And, you know, for some people, it's what they it's their thing and it's her hobby.
Yeah.
And she's good at it. She's not good.
What a hobby, huh?
She's you know, not everyone can do what she does. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe you inherited some of that from her, you know, maybe... You know, I mean, obviously, when someone gets married 6 times, something is off, you know?
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
I think, let's start with the fact.
Maybe something.
I think
there,
her medication's off, that's for sure. She needs to readjust that. And, you know, I told her, hey, Mom, you just like people. You don't have to marry everyone you like.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because you both like frogs in the same TV show doesn't mean it's a connection. I mean, that's not really a connection.
I see, okay. But that seems to be enough for her, huh?
Mm.
To get married over.
Mm.
Ah, sounds good. Well, we were supposed to have a guest right now, but he called me right before the show, and he had the times wrong, and he couldn't join us now, so we're going to have him call us maybe next week or something. He wrote a book called The Most Dangerous Business Book You'll Ever Read, and that's pretty cool. Some of the headlines here, question like a polygrapher, sort personalities like a profiler, close a deal like a hostage negotiator, network like a spy, interview like an interrogator, and team build like special ops. So this is a guy, obviously, that used to be in intelligence and learned a few things about interrogation and shit.
Wow.
So, yeah, so I thought this was pretty interesting because when you apply it to business, you know, the business world is pretty much a battlefield, you know, and, you know, people spy on each other and they have plans and... excuse me, plans of attack and things like that, you know. So, I mean, if nothing, the book shows you how to read people, you know, the types of people that there are and you know, what to expect from them, how to treat them, and so forth. So, yeah, so I'm looking forward to talking to him about this. So, sorry that I promoted this and he's not here, but we'll talk to him probably next week.
That sounds pretty, feisty, pretty, espionage feel.
Yeah.
Whatever that word means. What is espionage?
Espionage is spying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a big ass word for spying.
Yeah.
We just call people spying. Got some people spying on us. That's the spies.
Yeah.
Yeah, espionage. It sounds French. like a dish you'd order.
Maybe it is a French
French
word.
Cuisine. I'll have the espionage and the escargot.
The escargot.
That's funny.
Yeah. Mm. So something's interesting here. They're saying that marijuana use may speed psychosis. So in other words, if you're already predisposed to developing psychosis, it could come earlier in your life.
What is psychosis? Just,
good question. Psychosis is, you know, when you're psycho.
I mean, I kind of think, I get that psychosis of, like, any kind of...
Here, psychosis is a loss of contact with reality, usually including false beliefs about what is taking place or who one is, and seeing and hearing things that aren't there.
So are we talking about schizophrenia? Are we talking about, you know, bipolar? Are we talking
about... No, none of those. It's called psychosis.
Well, I think psychosis is kind of a broader
term. Oh, it can be part of other disorders. It can be part of schizophrenia, of depression, bipolar disorder. So it can all be part of those, you know. But, God, man, that's scary shit, you know. Mm. When you lose contact with reality.
Did you see A Beautiful Mind?
Yes.
That was pretty incredible, though.
That was a good movie, huh?
I mean, the fact that he was able to eventually see that there was something that wasn't really there.
Right.
But that the whole those years he thought was real.
Right.
And I thought what was fascinating is not only his ability to harness it and still be a brilliant, brilliant mind with math, mm-hmm. but... It was also just so fascinating how he, you know, he was just able to help people see through his mind, you know, mm. which is this is a reality for him.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's almost.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, though. I mean, that's why it's so scary and sad to have these things, because you don't really realize there's something wrong with you, you know.
Well, I mean, and... you know, if I go walking down the street or taking the metro mm-hmm. and I'm near a bunch of people. That are homeless. I mean, I'll be on. Sometimes I take the metro, the subway, and not very often, but sometimes I was sat by like two different homeless people. I think homeless.
Right.
That were both having full blown conversations, and they're usually very angry.
Really.
Very angry kind of conversations.
Yeah.
And
Well, I think you'd be angry too if life dealt you such a hand, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have something to do with it.
But they're literally talking to somebody.
Yeah.
They're seeing something we're not.
I know.
And I think that's pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
It's fascinating in the sense of, you know, we look at it like, oh, they're crazy, but they're really they're really talking to someone.
For them, yeah. For them, something's happening there.
Yeah, they're not just talking to the air. They're seeing and or hearing something.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, having something like psychosis, man, that's, you know, so if you smoke marijuana, that's one of the things you want to think about. And,
is it can speed up if you already would have it, or does it cause it?
No, it doesn't cause it. They're just saying if you're predisposed to it, you know, if you were probably going to get it eventually, then this would probably speed it up, you know, bring it on sooner.
Oh, I hear you.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, you've been
so
feeling
stop
a little,
getting high, man.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. If you're already on the fence. And you're a little bit nuts. In my case, it's probably somewhere in me. It's probably not a good combo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I actually, a little while back, I never told you this because I wasn't going to say it on the air.
Right.
I did smoke weed for the first time.
Oh, okay.
I did. I went out.
How long ago?
It was a few weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't want to say it on
the air. Well, welcome to the club.
Well, I did it for the first time.
Yeah.
And it was these couple girls I know, and they had like a vaporizer.
Oh, really?
So it's like you don't...
That's like serious shit.
Yeah, apparently it's like the high-class stuff.
Yeah.
She's a baller. Like, she lives fat. Her one of her neighbors is in the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It's like, she's a real baller. So it's basically like it takes away the carcinogens and the smoke element, but
right,
just the actual TH, whatever it's called.
Right. You don't really smoke it. It's just the sort of the fumes.
Yeah, you just inhale it. So anyway, I was like, let me try it. What's all this about? It's basically almost legal in California.
Yeah.
I can say I have back pain if I get caught. What'd you do? So, so I tried it and...
Did you feel anything?
A little bit.
Yeah.
But I just thought, this is what it's all...
So you stopped at that point or...
No, it was apparently, you know, it just kind of slowly hit me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just made me tired and
yeah.
was really, really... relaxing, I guess.
Right.
And I did feel a little bit paranoid.
Yeah.
I mean, we went to a diner that night, mm-hmm. and I kept looking at the people behind the diner, like that were like serving us. And I thought
so you actually went out when you were high for the
We were already
time.
Out. We were going out.
I see. Okay.
And it was like really quickly. She's like, "Do you want to try it?" I was like, "Okay." You know, just like, you know, peer pressure. Not peer pressure. I just wanted to try it.
Yeah.
And I just remember I thought everybody was talking shit about me.
Really?
It's like the person behind. I was like, I think the person behind the counter is talking shit.
Really?
And I kept thinking people were talking shit.
It does happen to people. They can get paranoid.
Yeah, and then I was tired, and I was like, what's the point of this?
Yeah.
It's not.
Well, it's not for you, because, you know, it has to do with the chemistry. Like, for example, you get along with booze just fine, you see?
Yeah, I like
and,
booze.
Yeah, but I don't like booze. It doesn't do much for me, you know? So that's why everybody has their own poison, you know?
Yeah. Well, I just thought it wasn't very fun.
But that's good, because now you're not going to get into that, you know?
No, it wasn't very fun, and I did get hungry.
Yeah.
And I was already hungry because I didn't eat dinner, so right. I was like, I didn't know if I was hungry because of, you know, having smoked it, or if I was hungry because...
It doesn't really make you hungry. It just makes you want to eat things, you know?
Oh, then I was probably
You look for the texture in the food, you know, and the flavor and everything.
I just was like, not for me. This is... It's just... In fact, it's like... I wanted to do less because I was like, I'm ready for bed.
Really?
But even when I was going to bed, I thought I heard people outside my window talking shit about me. So all I'm saying, this is just one time of doing it. Yeah. Everybody's like, no, you got to do it 5 times. Your body gets different. You know, the first time is this. But
why would you want to get into it in the first place?
No, so know? I'm laying down.
You
and
definitely don't need another habit there.
So
you
outside,
know?
I think there were some squirrels hanging out in the tree, and I thought they were talking shit. Like I just, so that whole psychosis thing, I'm sure it's true. I wouldn't screw with it.
The squirrels were talking shit.
Like I was like trying to go to bed, and my brain was like, I think there's people out there. I was a little jumpy. I thought there were some squirrels talking.
That's
you know.
Funny.
It wasn't for me.
No,
it wasn't for me at all.
No. Okay, good. So you stay out of that.
Mm-mm.
Don't get close to cocaine or anything because you don't want that.
Have you tried that?
Yeah, I've tried that back. Like I was too high strung on it.
Oh, really?
But the cool thing about it was like doing it in hiding, you know, like you and a friend go in the bathroom and you put a couple lines there and you do it, you know, and then you go back to the party. So it's kind of like... You know,
sort of
a bonding thing, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, well, there's other ways. You could get into a book club.
You could
both go work on cars together.
Yeah. I know, like one of the chicks that was with Charlie Sheen was telling how, how he was taken to the hospital last week or something.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, with abdomen pains. And this chick said that the previous night they had like a party where they had like tennis ball size cocaine. Like cocaine piles on the table.
Oh.
That's how much cocaine they had. I mean, I can't even picture that much. But these people, you know, they don't get enough of it. And I thought cocaine was like out, you know, but I mean, it's still like in, I guess, for a lot of people.
Well, you know what's so weird is until you moved, I mean, I don't know, this is just my experiences, but I've met a lot of friends that said the same thing. It's like, you live in your town, and it's not that there's not drugs there, but you move to some place like L.A., and it's everywhere, and it's all considered kind of casual.
Right.
You know, it's like party. It's like, oh, party.
Yeah.
Yeah, coke here,
yeah,
weed there. And it's just
here.
All heroin here. It's just, it's all kind of...
There are a lot of drugs in this town.
But it's also kind of all considered casual, and that's a really weird... culture shock when you move here.
Well, I think anybody that does drugs does them casually, you know. I don't think they look at it as
wow,
right. I shouldn't be doing
but
this.
The attitude towards it too, even if people that don't do it, is kind of like, oh, they went and did some coke.
Yeah
coke's at a party, no big deal. Like if I remember thinking when I first moved here, even now I feel this way, but if I showed up at somewhere and people were doing coke, that would scare the shit out of me and I'd be
would
out.
It?
Yeah, I would leave. Yeah. I'd be like, this is crazy.
Because
police are going to come. And I mean, I wouldn't even, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm at a party where there's cocaine.
Yeah.
And that's like not a big deal to a lot of people.
Right.
It's very Hollywood, you know. Cocaine off a bathroom urinal, not a big deal. That's weird, huh?
Yeah.
And cocaine... isn't stuff you want to jack with. It's not like recreational as much. It gets you.
It's chemicals. Yeah, it can fuck you up.
It can get
time.
People and they just die or they just become... Yeah.
You see, like on pot, people don't OD on that. You know, it's like natural plant and shit like that. But when you deal with chemicals, you know, like crack and heroin and, you know, and all that shit, it's very dangerous. You know, you can overdo it easily.
Man.
Yeah.
Not interested in that.
No, no. Mm-hmm. ODing is not fun. No. I've never seen anybody OD, you know? Have you ever seen that one?
I haven't seen it, no. My sister died that way. But I think it was... we don't know. I think it's suicide, but we're not sure.
Yeah, yeah.
She took an
But it could have been an accident.
Well, yeah, but I think that the count of the amount of pills she took was like...
Yeah, like...
It was a bottle, like close to... You know,
really?
Yeah, I don't think that's...
Yeah, you're not trying to get high, huh?
Yeah, she took some... I don't mean to laugh, but my mom, I didn't, you know, I'm just realizing so much, you know, and one of the things is I didn't realize that my mom was a drug addict, like a, you don't, or a pill head. I knew that she was always abusing her pain pills and stuff, but I, you know, it took a while for me to kind of understand, oh, this is pill addiction. This is drug addict, right? Isn't that what it is? And so I never ever said that. I never thought, oh, my mom's a drug addict. But,
yeah,
you know,
because, you know, pills, people don't look at them as something, you know, because
they're
legal.
Right?
And, yeah, I mean.
So she, my mom, we were talking the other day, and she's like, yeah, for years, she goes, I've just been on so many this and that, and there's nothing I haven't tried. And she wasn't on anything at the time, she said, but that, you know, she doesn't do it anymore. But I could tell she probably still does from time to time. But, it really hit me that all those years growing up with her, you know, and I didn't see her for 8 years growing up. And then sometimes we talk and, that, oh, wow, she was really just full blown to the max on drugs,
right.
On some kind of drug, like pain, even if it's just pain pills. Cause it just takes you out of reality. It takes you, you're completely a zombie, you know? Mm. And, so my sister, I think she took like a bunch of, I don't know if it's Darvocet or what. She took tons of that, and then she took my mom's methadone.
Really?
Is it methadone like the stuff you use to like
get off heroin?
Yeah. So I think my mom had some methadone. I don't know.
God.
Isn't that just so? I shouldn't be laughing about it, but it's kind of so white trash, you know. So
yeah.
I think my sister took her methadone and Darvocet and like a lot of pills. You know, like 80.
How old was she at the time?
My sister was 26.
Wow.
Yeah. It was very sad.
How sad, yeah.
It's very tragic because she had a child and her child was taken away from her.
Yeah.
And that's when she just was done.
Yeah.
It's
wow.
Very sad.
I mean, that would send you over the top.
Yeah. She had a, I can't believe I'm telling you guys this, but she had a baby with a guy who was a drug dealer.
Mm.
And he went to prison and then her child was taken away because of obviously drug use.
Oh.
And she went to go live with my mom, and my mom was kind of taking care of her in her own mom kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sister was just completely depressed, you know.
Right.
Because her child was taken away.
Wow.
And then I think that's when she did it, you know.
Yeah. Well, bad choices in life, you know. But it's never too late, you know. People have to understand, you know. You can always change it and start a new life and so forth, you know. It's so sad that people, when they realize there's no hope, you know, and you can get that depressed where you feel like, you know, it's painful. Mm-hmm. It's actually physically painful.
Well, I wrote a song for her. It came. I really feel like it was a God-inspired song. And the lyrics that, you know, it says, you know, we all thought about it once or twice to leave this world would be pretty nice, but it's just a convenient idea for the way we feel.
Right.
And then the reoccurring lines say, you know, faith can get real thin when you start to give in, she says, and then hope can get real thin when you start to give in, and then love can get real thin when you start to give in. And there's like I think a slipping away of the things that we need to overcome pain and sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's crucial elements that we need to hold on to overcome the dark places in life.
Right.
And when you give in, it's like you get further and further away from those things. It becomes so thin, you know? And that's the thing. I don't justify what she did. I can't. It's not for my place to judge or justify it at all. At the same time, you know, I said, you know, how dark was that hole that you slipped down below? I won't know.
Yeah.
You know, who will know?
Yeah.
I won't know.
Exactly. I mean, look, it's a very selfish act, but you have to understand that you have to be in a very bad place to get to a point where you want to take your own life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's not easy. It's not easy, and I feel for people.
Yeah.
You know,
it's dark and it's.
But there's always help, you know. I mean, there's help for depression, and people have to understand that, you know, many things people can't overcome on their own. You know, they need support. Mm. They need other people.
Yeah.
And I think when you're depressed, the last thing you want to do is be alone.
That's so true. I mean, I noticed friends of mine that when they're going through a hard time, I won't get a phone call from them.
Mm.
And I have to make myself call them and then reach out to them because I know they're just in a really shitty place and they don't want anybody to know about it. And they don't want to talk to anybody about it. And they don't want to, you know, have anyone in their business.
Yeah.
And they feel ashamed or whatever.
Right.
And it's just kind of, it's not that unique. It happens to everyone. I mean, it's kind of how we can love each other and connect to one another is you just go, okay, so you're in a shitty place and you've made some really bad decisions. Welcome to life.
But you know what? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something that's physical, you know?
And you mean the chemical
when you're
element.
Clinically depressed, it's not because of choices or circumstances. It's just that that's in your genes, you know, and you have to learn to live with it. And, you know, it can be a very, very dark place.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't compare this to someone who's just depressed because of their situation or, you know, they're not employed or divorced or something like that, you know. But clinical depression where somebody, you know, the chemicals in your brain, whatever, are off.
Yeah.
That's a tough place to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, yeah. So those are the things.
What did you feel? I mean, I know you went through, like, the bipolar.
Yeah. That's why I'm qualified to talk about it, you know, because, I've been, like, so depressed in my life that I couldn't really, you know, I didn't see that there was any hope, you know. I mean, it was just like everything was painful. It was just painful. That's how it felt, you know. I mean, you're, like, so, you don't feel like doing anything, you know. You don't feel like... You know, you don't have the energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you realize that it was like, if that's all you knew, how did you realize that this was wrong or you needed help or that there's another way to...
Because someone told me, my family, you know, they said, I think we have this like in a, I think this is genetic in our family and stuff. And maybe you should go and see if you'll get diagnosed and stuff. Because for me, it wasn't being so depressed as just being angry a lot, you know. So then I realized that, you know, that's part of being bipolar.
Yeah.
Is that.
A friend of mine said she had like, it's like aggravated depression.
Mm.
It's like that angry depression kind of thing.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the most dangerous because you still have the energy to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Many people that are depressed are just too depressed, too weak, too distraught to even attempt it, you know.
Mm.
But when you're angry and depressed at the same time, man, that's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long did you live with it till you got help?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, only in my 30s did it really come out that I had to.
Oh, so really, so your 20s, you didn't really experience it?
No, I mean, I've always experienced it. I just didn't know that something was wrong. I mean, it's just, it seems to you like that's the way things should be.
Mm.
And that's the way things are.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, today I'm feeling a whole lot better. I can lead a normal life, not worry about it. You know, and sometimes I think, you know, about it, like, don't forget where you come from, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's there's always the possibility you're going to slip back again, you know?
So what point were you, like, what was your lowest point that you were like, oh, my gosh, this is something I have to really...
There was some really low points.
Yeah.
There were some very low points, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's say that. And it was mostly effects of the divorce, you know?
Mm.
I mean, I was losing my kids.
Mm.
And that was hard to deal with it. So, you know, it was a situation sort of like pushed me over the top.
Yeah.
You know, to a place where I was having difficulties with everything.
Yeah.
You know. And, yeah, I mean, I was doing computer animation. I was working at a computer game company. And I was just there and I was like angry all the time. And they could tell, you know, so they just let me go. You know, there's no room for someone like that in an office, you know.
Were you, like, coming in and, like, throwing coffee mugs or, like...
No, but I was banging on the desk, you know, as I was working, and there was expensive equipment there.
Did you break something?
No, I didn't break anything, but they were afraid I would, you know, if I keep banging on the desk.
Maybe they were afraid you're going to come in one day with a
Yeah, you don't
gun.
Know. I mean, it's not behavior that you see in an office, you know?
Yeah.
So you have to get rid of
whoever's
doing
it. I'd have been really nice
it.
To you. I'd have been really nice and be like, please, when you come in, don't shoot me. Don't shoot me. I'll be gone. Like, what day do you plan on shooting people? I'll make sure to be sick that day.
Oh, man.
You know.
Yeah. Listen, there's a game here that's called Sex and Love Quiz.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I'm wondering what it's like. It's a challenge here, but I don't know what it's about. Let's see. It's going to start in about 8 seconds. It doesn't look like a straightforward quiz, but I'm wondering if this is going to help us figure out what we are and who we are. Let's see what this is about here. It's on CNN, and it's loading up right now. But have you ever taken like sex and love quizzes before?
I mean, aren't they just kind of like for fun and they basically just ask you basic questions? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Okay, begin. And they give you 5 multiple choice questions.
Okay, go for it.
30 seconds to answer each.
You do the quiz then. What does it say?
Points based on time and value.
Okay.
Okay, let's see. Begin. Okay, let's see what that is.
This is exciting, Sam. What's going on?
Yeah. Who was widely considered to be the most popular pinup girl among American soldiers during World War II? Marilyn Monroe, Betty Grable, Lauren Bacall, or Doris Day?
Well, isn't it? I think it's either Betty Grable or Lauren
Lauren Bacall.
I think it's Doris Day.
Doris Day. Okay, let's do that one. Wrong. Next question.
Oh yeah. Shit. Because Marilyn wasn't around that time, I don't think.
No. But I think Grable was.
Betty Grable?
What were the first condoms made of? Plastic, rubber, animal intestines, and latex?
Ew.
Animal intestines, I think.
Really? That's
yes.
nasty. Go for
no,
it.
I've heard about it.
Okay, what is it?
Right.
Oh, way to go.
I was right.
Okay, so what else?
Okay, the next one is coming up. Let's see. When was the birth control pill approved by the FDA? 1940, 50, 60, or 70?
I want to say the 60s, huh?
Let's say that, but it's probably the 50s. Let's see. No, it's correct. You were right. The 60s. Okay, the next question. Where are the brothels legal in the USA? Where are brothels legal in the U.S.?
Nevada.
Nevada is right. Let's see. Correct. Next question.
Look at that.
I thought they were going to ask totally different things, you know. Why did Hugh Hefner leave the date off the first issue of Playboy?
Why did he leave the what?
The date off of the first issue of Playboy.
I don't know why.
It was forgotten during the cover design. He didn't know if the magazine would succeed. Adding the date cost extra at the printers. He wanted the first issue to be timeless. I think that's the one, right?
Okay, so
probably.
What?
No. He didn't know if the magazine would succeed. Wow.
That's weird. So why leave the date off?
Yeah. I don't know. There's round two now.
Okay.
Let's see.
That's funny.
Round two. What a game, man. What famous madam wrote her biography, The Happy Hooker, My Own Story? Heidi Fleiss, Sidney Barrows, Xaviera Hollander, or Fanny Porter?
I don't know any
I
of
think
that.
It's Fanny Porter. I think.
You would know
see.
This.
Wrong. It was Xaviera Hollander. Oh. I remember she used to have a column, I think, in Penthouse or something. Believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I used to be into that stuff. What state in 1879 made it illegal for married couples to use birth control? Connecticut, Georgia, South Carolina, Colorado.
Who I want to say it's South that? Carolina.
South Carolina?
Or Georgia, yeah.
Wrong. It's Connecticut.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That would be a southern state.
Yeah.
What else?
Some kind of a quiz this is. When was Madonna's controversial book entitled Sex published? 87, 92, 99, 2001.
I want to say 92.
I would say 87. You want to, which one
I
want to
go
try?
92.
92. You're right. God damn it.
Hey, God loves you. But you know what? Yeah. I think that's because when her Blonde Ambition tour came out.
Yeah, but I thought it was, well, I thought it was
she was still She was still getting steam in the 80s. She was huge, but.
Yeah. Okay, the rest is boring, like, you know, this is like Alfred Kinsey, you know, the one that did the Kinsey report.
Oh, Kinsey, yeah, that was weird.
Considered to be the father of sexual research, He was a professor of zoology at what university? Who cares? Who knows?
Yeah, forget it.
Okay.
Let's see. Yeah, who cares about that?
Yeah.
But like Hugh Hefner, I mean, he's getting married now.
Let's say this. Why was Mae West charged with corrupting the morals of youth in 1926?
I know this, but what are the options?
For performing her stage play Sex, for writing her stage play Sex, for posing for photos in her underwear, or for swearing in public.
Oh.
She probably like wrote something. Performing her on her stage, yeah. Okay. Okay, you know what? Fuck this. I'm not interested in this anymore.
I think Mae West is so interesting, though, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Because she was, you know, you look back. I mean, back then, obviously, beauty and fashion was different.
Right.
But she just had an essence. But if you just look at her, I didn't think she was very pretty.
Mm.
But she's... her essence.
She was sexy, maybe, you know?
Yeah, it was her essence.
That's the thing. Some women are not, you know, necessarily beautiful, but they're sexy. You know, there's something about them.
Yeah, she just has an essence of, like, she just had a very, she had a lot of, and she was kind of slouchy the way she walked.
Uh-huh.
A little bit slumpy.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, wasn't, like, the best in shape, and they really weren't back then. But she was voluptuous, you know.
Yeah. Well, they weren't shaped. They just weren't skinny like we are today.
Yeah, she was voluptuous and but it was her essence and her weight, like not physical, but she had a weight about her. Like everything was very kind of aggressive. She had kind of a masculinity to her feminine. Isn't that interesting?
Mm. I don't know.
There's
maybe you're right.
There's two types of men in this world, foreign and domestic. You know, all those, like, one. She had great one line. She was like a comedian.
Yeah.
She was like a sexy.
Oh, really? She was a comedian?
Well, I mean, everything she said was funny. It was like funny and it was like jokes, but they were sexy. You know?
Wow.
Sexy, funny jokes.
That's interesting.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, well.
Ah, I like Mae West.
Mae West.
Good old Mae West.
I liked Lauren Bacall. I thought she was very sexy.
You know, yeah?
With her smoky, deep voice. And yeah. And, yeah, I mean, I'm not that into old movies, but there were some good ones, you know. Did you ever see Gone with the Wind?
Mm-hmm,
you have. I never saw that.
You've never seen that?
No, I've never seen that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Gone with the Wind's amazing. Vivian Leigh's beautiful. But I just saw for the first time Streetcar Named Desire. Have you seen that?
No.
She's in that, too.
Yeah.
That's kind of a creepy, funny, like, creepy good movie.
Right.
Yeah. She's kind of a...
I know. I should probably catch up on some classic old movies.
Yeah, I was sick, so I had a chance
to watch. There's nothing new that's great at all.
Well, I mean, Streetcar Named Desire is really interesting because the role that she played was a woman who was her youth was fading and she was still beautiful, but she wasn't in the prime of her life and she wasn't married yet.
I see.
And she was a little bit crazy too. Her name was Blanche DuBois.
I see. Okay.
And just very.
So I'm gonna catch that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna catch those movies, but especially, you know, Gone with the Wind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, how can you go to your grave without having seen it?
I cannot believe you have not seen Gone with the Wind. It's like a 3-day long movie. But
yeah,
it's amazing.
I know.
Well, you know what's so interesting is the storyline's amazing, the time period that it was shot, and then how epic the movie is based on, you know, in the way they made movies back then. I mean, it's just so epic.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is. All right, folks, we're at the end of our show. So everybody take care of yourselves. Today's Tuesday, right? Okay, so we'll be back here tomorrow. Take care.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.